Welcome to MindLob, the hive mind antidote for conservative Christians that want to form their own conclusions. And now your host, Ken Carroll.
In this episode of MindLob, I'm going to be hitting on a few incredibly taboo subjects, such as the flat earth and censorship and the firmament. One of the big questions in Genesis is, what is the firmament described in chapter 1? Now, in my last podcast, I did mention to you that I wanted to discuss the election. And in my prayer life, I do not feel that it's time to do it. I don't understand it. I can't tell you why I'm feeling what I feel. But something is telling me to pump the brakes on the discussion about the election. So, until next week, maybe it's to see how things play out. Maybe it's to see what God wants me to see and maybe translate in the podcast. So as I was making a determination about what I wanted to speak about this week, which the next major object in our journey through Genesis is this idea of a firmament. And so I'm going to grab the Bible here and I'm going to read you the focus. And one thing that the Bible says is, and God said, this is in verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So it's interesting. In one of these total areas in the creation narrative in Genesis, there is a discussion about this firmament. Now, I know because I like dealing with some subjects that are fringe. Not because I necessarily believe the subjects, but I just like hearing people talk and getting their ideas. Even if I don't agree with them, I like listening to their ideas because I think it expands how I can look at both human nature and also learn and be open to other ideas and other perspectives. Certainly cultures and different backgrounds are one way to do that, but also how people derive belief systems and why they get there is another aspect of that. So I wanted to start with something called flat earth. Now, some of you may be surprised that there are very educated people, very intelligent people that think the earth is flat. That's right, flat. Not round, not a spheroid, but flat. Now, you would immediately, if you were like me, your knee-jerk to something that seems like it's just a shock to the brain is the idea that we've seen photos. NASA's been up there. And of course, we have astronauts. So what is it about these guys that make them think that they know something that's, you know, so apparent to the rest of us? That's not so apparent to them. Now, when I first started exploring this subject, I thought, okay, you know, this is going to take me 5 minutes to go through. But then I started watching the group. Now, one of the immediate things that's interesting about the Flat Earth movement is they have a conference. They get together. And the ones that believe this really believe this. And these guys are conducting experiments. They are taking lasers and shooting them across large bodies of water to see if they can detect a curvature. Because as the Earth, you know, as a distance across the Earth occurs, then there should be a bending of the Earth, you know, because it's round. And so there is a mathematical equation for how much the Earth would curve the further away it gets from your current standpoint. And so, you know, one thing that's interesting is the flat earth people that are, and you can go find some of the stuff on, maybe still find it on YouTube, I don't know. But what you'll find is that the people that attend the conference and the people that are part of this movement, they also disavow the Flat Earth Society. And they'll tell you real quick that the Flat Earth Society is to divert and make a caricature of what they believe in order to kind of muddy the waters in an attempt to hide what they think and what they're coming up with. So when I jumped in there, there was a couple things that was kind of interesting. The first thing was I jumped in and I started listening to a podcast by this group. And they started to talk at the beginning, because when I went there and you can see the collection of videos, I noticed that there were a lot of videos missing. Matter of fact, they only had one video in their video library. Now, I know just months ago they had tons of videos because they do these podcasts all the time where they talk about their laser experiments, or they'll talk about, how certain things work, airplanes, things of that nature. It's really kind of interesting if you just want to take a little time and just kind of listen to people who believe something that probably 99.9% of the world does not believe. But the reason that their video library was down to one video was because they have seen people who have these offshoot ideas, offshoot beliefs from the hive mind. When we have this idea that we kind of adopt, this concept, and then we go, okay, now we believe this and this is concrete, and we don't want to go back and start talking about the flat earth movement because we're so far beyond the archaic belief of a flat earth. And but what was crazy was the reason they had that one was because they said that there were channels being deleted that were being completely removed from YouTube, according to them, because of their content not being something that YouTube would want to have published. So they're going through this concentrated effort to take all of their videos, and they're waiting on another video platform that they want to come out, and they intend to move their videos to this other place. They feel that the censorship is so bad on YouTube that they can't talk about the Flat Earth movement. Now, for some of us, we may think, well, but that's crazy. We don't want them talking about the Flat Earth. We want to be more intelligent. We want to be more smart. But when we look at it, why shouldn't they be able to talk about the Flat Earth or a square Earth or a hollow Earth or a round Earth or an oblate spheroid Earth or a, why shouldn't they be able to talk about that? What if they thought that the Earth was somehow in the middle of some cosmic place where even it alters shapes or there's something crazy going on with the planet? Is that really that bad for it to be put on YouTube and then allow people to listen, enjoy, delve into it, reject it, or decide to explore it further? What's the real problem with allowing the Flat Earth people to have their space, to have their club? Now, again, it'll surprise you because they're doing some really interesting experiments. If you go and you listen to these guys talk, now I'm not telling you I'm ready to punch in my my card for the Earth being round. I'm not telling you that I'm willing to punch in my card for the Earth being heliocentric. I can tell you that I think it's kind of crazy that we think that we know as much as we know. And it just seems like almost like a comedy when you really think about the finite space and time in which man is. And then for us to make some astronomical claim that, of some of the things that we perceive happening, that it's all around us, but yet because of where we are, we can't experience it all. We can't feel the Earth spinning. We can't feel it moving around the sun or corkscrewing through the universe. All these crazy speeds are oblivious to the human experience. Now, it may be the case, but it may not be the case. We're just living at this point in time, and we're just adopting what we think that we know. Now, that's going to raise some eyebrows, I'm certain. But you know one thing that I like about the Flat Earth people? They're willing to think. They're willing to look at the world, run experiments, and ask questions in the face of mockery, in the face of accusations, in the face of being told that they're completely stupid. Intelligent people are questioning the paradigm. Now, what's funny about this was when I first got into looking into this whole Flat Earth deal, I was riding with my son, and I remember I always encourage my kids to think. Now, I have my belief system, just like you have your belief system, but I always want my kids to think. And so whenever my son would ask a question, rather than give him a definitive answer that he could hang his hat on, and this goes with any of my kids, I would give perspectives. Well, this person thinks this, and the other side thinks this. Now, here it is. Go research it. Draw your own conclusions. I felt critical thinking was huge, and I feel like that's a gift that is often replaced with this knick-knack of giving somebody what they feel is the absolute truth. So what happened was my son challenged me in the car that day, and he said, "Dad, I wish you could tell me one thing that you know that you know that you know is a fact." And I thought about it for a little bit. I kind of laughed it off, but then I went back and started thinking. And I go, aha, the shape of the Earth. That's an easy one. NASA photos. NASA's been there. Boats going over the horizon. You know, on and on and on, right? So I started looking into it. And I was astounded to find that intelligent people simply just don't trust the data that NASA gives us. They don't trust the fact that we went to the moon. They don't trust the photos that when you go look, and you go look for yourself. I'm a Photoshop, I've been an Adobe certified expert. And so I've taken the photos, and I've taken them from the NASA website. And I can tell you, a lot of them, at least the ones I've looked at, have been doctored. Now, they may be doctored for other reasons. Maybe they don't want us to know certain things. Maybe it's to make that perfect image, you know, because we do that with models and grass and oceans and everything else. So why not do it in this case too? But I can tell you they've been manipulated. Now, there's forensic photo software that does it, but in some of these cases, it's blatantly obvious. Just a simple curves or level adjustment will show you that just the edges of the places that have been altered. But in a way, I kind of admire these Flat Earth guys, because what they do is they're running their laser experiments. They're putting the scientific method to the test. They're taking where boats, they say, go over the horizon, and they're using, you know, cameras and things of different devices to see, okay, are they truly going over the horizon, or are they being obscured by the atmosphere, by the limits of sight? What's really going on here? And so if you ever get an opportunity, it's kind of a fun side note. Now, so what does that have to do with the Rakia? Well, first, I thought it was interesting of the censorship, and I really wanted to bring that up because there is such a huge idea of censorship on the internet. And if they're censoring Flat Earth because they don't like that, but then they also censor Alex Jones. You know, he's a dirty word in YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. You know, he's been excommunicated, digitally erased. And then I can tell you that I've worked with some politicians during the last election, and we were running advertisements, and I can tell you there was some peculiar things that I never ran into that I ran into. Now, I can tell you what happened, and I can tell you stories about going back to the notary and then having another document signed. And then as that document is signed by the notary, her looking over the original document and sees nothing wrong with it. and then having it finally accepted after weeks of pain, to be honest with you. Driver's licenses not being accepted in order to run the advertisements. And then odd emails that come in from the big social media companies telling me that the politicians' social media pages are not in alignment with their policies. And if I didn't address it on a Friday evening, that the pages could go down at any time. And then when I inquired about it, they would simply write me back and tell me that nothing was wrong. So it's interesting. I don't want to get too far into this, but the idea that your ability to research content, especially if it goes against what we're seeing as a hive mind answer, if you're going against this hive mind answer, it seems like that they don't want us to. It seems like they don't think that we're smart enough, that we almost need some type of big parent to protect us from the big bad world of free thought and free ideas. And I find that pretty concerning as I was doing my research into something so basic as, what do the flat earth people think of the firmament? Because I figured that would be a good place to start, because one of the big criticisms of Genesis is that it's a flat earth book. That the way that the ancients believed Genesis was that they believed the earth was flat and it was covered by a dome. And above the dome was water, and below the dome was the heavens, the atmosphere. And then we have the place that we live, which is this disc, this flat disc. So you think of it kind of like a snow globe. And so that's the criticism that I wanted to explore and see what they thought about the firmament. Now, of course, there are people that believe in the Christian faith that are also part of the movement, but it's not exclusive. Just like the idea of believing in a creator, believing that materialism isn't right. There are people who believe that humanism, materialism, evolution isn't right. Some of them aren't religious. Some of them don't know what it is. Some of them just don't believe the narrative of materialism. But the problem is if what the flat earth people were saying is true, and if my experience is not some kind of obscure oddity, then your ability to research and understand things could be mitigated by a big brother that wants to keep you limited in the way you think. Either, well, you can draw whatever conclusions you want to. I mean, some off the top of my head would be, you're too dumb. You need to be protected. Or their ideas need to be protected. I'm not really sure what it is. I do know that it's concerning living in a republic and knowing that so many gave so much so that the flat earth people could talk about flat earth if they wanted to. So we could disagree on subjects. We're free to be crazy. We're free to go with whatever the current narrative within our culture is. And I think there's a certain magic to having free thought. And obviously, you know, we don't want to get into the idea of, you know, people hurting people or terrorists planning something, but we also don't want to get into the idea of limiting people to where we're dumbed down to just believing whatever we're told to believe. And that's a fear that I have. I would rather my kids explore flat earth. Heck, I'd rather my kids believe a flat earth than to be told what to think. If they're thinking about it critically, if they're putting it together in their mind, there's a freedom to that. So as I was digging further into flat earth, and then I got sidetracked by this notion of the censorship, and then I reflected back on my experience working with the politicians that I worked with, then I started to go full swing with it, and I started to listen to popular interpretations of this firmament. Because the firmament, it does say that there was a firmament in the midst of the waters, and it divided the, its purpose was to let the waters divide from the waters. And God made the firmament. And so what's interesting is it looks like it does describe almost like a bubble being created within water and is segmenting the water. Now, Dr. Hugh Ross, who I've referenced, and he's a day-age theory guy, meaning he believes each day represents a long period of time. He's not an evolutionist. I don't think his perspective has changed on that. But Dr. Hugh Ross would argue that's the water cycle. You know, the idea of God being on the earth and creating the water cycle and making it habitable for human beings. And he would probably go more with the, and I don't want to speak for him, you'll have to get his book, but I would assume he would go with the word firmament to take the translation of an expanse. Now, some of your flat earthers are going to take that word firmament, and they're going to say, nope, that word rakia, and again, you're getting the non-throaty interpretation of that word in Hebrew. They would argue that that rakia, that firmament, has to be hard, has to be stamped out, has to be something. Now, who's right? Who's wrong? If you go with the popular view of Hugh Ross, it does really fit nicely into what we think we know today. Now, it may not be what we think tomorrow, but it's what we think today. And if we're being censored, we're going to interpret things based upon whatever we're told. And if we're continually limited by other people's free thought, then we are going to have more of a hive mind answer. And it'll be based upon interpreting the scriptures within the current narrative of culture, which again, I personally think that it's un-American. I think it's undemocratic, and I think it's inhuman if that's what's going on. So you've got Dr. Hugh Ross's perspective of it being something very understood within our modern understanding. And then within the flat earth movement, you have some people who believe that there is a hard dome above us, that Antarctica is the edge of the dome. So it's not at the bottom of a globe, but rather it's like the edge of a bowl. And it just simply surrounds this. And there's a hard dome. And then if you go, I was listening to one of the Answers in Genesis people. And he was making the argument that the firmament is space. Meaning that, you know, everything above us. And then his conjecture at the end of the... what I studied with him was that on the outside of the universe, that's where the water is. The water from the waters is the outer edge of the universe, and it's constantly expanding. So it's almost like this big bubble that's just growing, and on the outer edge there's water, and then there's water down on this little tiny dot that, if you go with the heliocentric model, appears to be nowhere special and other than just a Goldilocks zone within a seemingly infinite universe. Now, what's interesting about Genesis, from my perspective, is that Earth is a special creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, some of your translations will say heavens, and you'll notice in some previous podcast I say heavens and heaven, so put that in your pocket. But it says, and the earth was without form and void. So if you notice, there's an attention. Now, again, you need to go backwards in some previous because there's all kinds of little twists and turns in just that little bit there. But the idea is that earth was special when God made it. It was within his mind. I mean, right there with the heaven and the earth. And so it appears that the earth was special. Now, regardless, if you accept NASA's paradigm and you believe that they can peer this, you know, far away and see this and determine that this particular planet could possibly house life, you know, within inconceivable distances to the human mind. If you happen to believe that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you understand that you're a finite human and your belief system is no better than anyone else's. But it looks like it's something special. It looks like that God did that. And when we look out into those places, what we find is that those other places largely seem to be uninhabitable. They seem to be destroyed. Now, I have ideas about that, and I'll share that. But the idea is that Earth was special. And then God did something. Now, we can say expanse if we want to, you know, believe that our narrative's correct. We could say there's something hard covering the Earth if we completely reject NASA and everything associated with it. But the bottom line is, regardless if you go to people who believe in a young Earth or people who believe in an old Earth, or you take, I can't think of the gentleman's name, but he's a very popular apologetics person, and he'll argue that the ancients never believed in a flat Earth to begin with. And he'll say that they had a better idea of cosmology, and they would look at the stars and map them and understand that there wasn't a fixed dome above the Earth. Now, you can see that he takes the modern interpretation of what he thinks that we understand, and he applies it retroactively to how he perceives that ancient cultures perceive things. It's interesting, isn't it? But at the end of the day, what you find out about this thing called a firmament is that no one knows. They all have ideas. They all have their sources of data. Some of them claim they start with the Bible and work backwards. But it's clear that when it comes to this idea of a firmament, that some of them, although they claim the scriptures are first and foremost in their mind, they are infiltrated by modern culture, which is something that we all are guilty of. It's okay to be human, but we don't know what this firmament is. We have no clue. Odds are, if you're like me, you've never been to outer space, and you likely never will go to outer space. You will live the entirety of your life, and anything that you believe about space is going to be your faith in an agency that makes a lot of money creating stuff and understanding stuff about space. You have to believe in their integrity. You have to believe that we can't be fooled by everything. We have to put them on a pedestal of being good guys who aren't going to deceive us. Now, that may be true. They may be good guys who aren't out to deceive us. The flat Earth community, they don't tend to like NASA. They tend to dig into the history. They'll tend to talk to you about Operation Paperclip, where there was Nazis who were brought over to help us with our programs to get into outer space. Now, that is true. It's on the CIA website. You can go check that out. But they tend not to believe it. They tend not to trust Wernher von Braun. They tend not to trust the idea that we went from 0 to 60 and not just went to outer space, but we went to the moon and came back several times, and then instead of continuing to build bigger and better ways to cross the proverbial ocean to the moon, we just stopped. We did it, and there was nothing else to do. So where are we with this firmament? In essence, no one knows. In essence, people have ideas. In essence, they're going to read it within the paradigm of their belief system. They're going to interpret it within the lens, and they're going to claim that the scriptures are their primary resource, because everybody wants to feel that they're spiritually connected and that their worldview is more connected to the scriptures than others. But in reality, we all are influenced, and we all need to be kind to each other and understand that. So what is it? Who is it? Can't tell you. But I can tell you that it's there. It could be an expanse. It could be something hard. It could be at the edge of the universe. Maybe it's something different. Maybe it's something we don't understand. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something insignificant. Maybe it's something huge. Maybe it's something fill in the blank. With that being said, we're going to leave the firmament where it's at. And I care about you, regardless if you believe in the heliocentric model, if you believe in a flat Earth model, if you believe we live in a geocentric universe. I care about you no matter what. I'm really grateful that you're listening in. I'm glad that you're thinking. That's the big thing. You're thinking. It doesn't matter what other people think of you, because you know what? At some point, if world history continues and humanity continues for generations and generations, the stuff that they make fun of you about today will be insignificant and likely change in the future. If there's any sign of what's happened to the past, that's what's going to happen in the future. So use your minds. Think, imagine, dream, pray, ask God for guidance. Make it a relational journey as you explore things like the firmament. Don't become a hard cynic where, you know, you refuse to let other people think and you don't want to let them have their time with God and their exploration and their growth with God on their path. Enjoy the path, discuss the path, debate the path, but allow the path. And I think that's something we could learn as Americans today. I think we could learn from each other to just let us be, just let us think, just get along. Sure. Let's have the debates where the debates happen. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. I know I'm running a little late with this week's podcast. I've been in heavy prayer about things. I do want to let you know that I am planning on joining Parler or Gab.com. And I am thinking about leaving Facebook with MindLob altogether. And I'm thinking of stopping my channel at YouTube. The reason being is I can't control what others do. But I can control what I do. I can make my decisions for me. And in this case, I can make this decision. Now, it's going to have to grow organically. You're going to have to think what I'm talking about means something and that it's worth something. And then you share it. Or people pick me up on a podcast platform. But I want freedom. You know, there's stuff I post within the members area that's absolutely free on mindlob.com. And I'm disheartened because the stuff that I post there, it's edgy sometimes. It's different. It's an alternate perspective on ideas. But after experiencing what I've experienced with some of these online platforms, I'm hesitant to post it. I'm hesitant to post free thought ideas. I'm hesitant to question things. Do you realize the gravity of that? Not being able to question, not being able to ask simple questions. I find that disturbing. I find it disturbing. And so at this point, I believe I'm going to pull away from it. So when Parler comes back up, and it will come back up based upon what the CEO has said about it, I encourage you to join me on the platform because that's one of the only places that I know that I can publicly post things that I think that you would want to have as food for thought. Not because I'm trying to persuade you into believing something. I don't want to persuade you into a belief system. I don't care if you think the earth is flat. I don't care what you think about politics or these other issues. But I want you to think about it. I want you to process it. And I don't want you to become some mindless drone, some mindless zombie who's just going to soak up whatever somebody tells you, believe it's the truth, and your only recourse for a contradictory thought is to bully someone or to tell them they're stupid or to not give them the time of day. Do you realize a travesty of something like that? Do you realize how slow man would have come to where we are today if we would have done that? Oh, sure, there's been cases where, you know, different people try to oppress other people. And you see that we've somehow transcended that through great sacrifice, sometimes of the individual and sometimes through the collective. One need look no more than Martin Luther King Jr. and what he did. He gave the ultimate price for something he believed in. But he was able to march and he was able to speak and he was able to go against the grain. I just hope one day we can go against the grain. I hope we can continue to go against the grain. I hope that the Republic will continue so that we're free to explore what the firmament is, So we're free to understand more about not just who we are, but where we're going and what we mean in this existence here on Earth today. With that, I encourage you to subscribe. Please share our podcast. I really don't want you to like me on Facebook. I would rather you subscribe to the podcast and become a member at mindlob.com so that I can share thoughts with you and we can continue this journey in understanding the world that we live and understanding our God and understanding our meaning. Thank you so much for listening. I really do honestly appreciate you. I appreciate you as an individual. I appreciate you as a friend. Many of my friends do listen to this podcast that I have regular interaction with, and I appreciate their support and their kindness, both when I come up with something that they may not agree with, but also in those times where I'm just as big of a victim as falling prey to the human condition and committing those awful, awful philosophical fallacies that everyone's so quick to point out when we do those. I have thought about fallacies. I'll share that with you in a future episode. Thanks again for subscribing, and I appreciate you listening to me ramble tonight. God bless, and let's pray for our world, regardless if it's flat, round, stationary, spinning, or even something different.
Make sure to subscribe to our podcast or visit mindlob.com to learn more.